Well, I pray that every day with Jesus in your life is sweeter than it was yesterday. And that only happens with sweet, intimate fellowship with the Lord on a day-by-day basis and leaning on Him. So great to see you tonight. Thank you for being here. Of course, it's been a nice day. I pray you got some rain. And it's unbelievable that at my house, I've received 3 inches in the last couple of days. And that just never happens. Since Brother Danny said, thank the Lord for the rain. It's been nice, cool for the last couple of days. And my son Colin was talking about just how hot it's been this week. I said, son, this has not been hot. So some of us remember the summer of 1980, don't we? So it's so great to see you tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, truly it is great to be in your house, and it is sweeter to be in your presence more every day. We pray that you bless the services tonight. Every aspect that we have going on in our campus, whether it's discipleship or the nursery, the teens, kids camp, the Hispanic department, Lord, whatever's going on tonight, we pray that your presence would be here, and Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts in a very wonderful, magnificent way. Thank you for the blessings of the rain you've sent to us, and Lord, the cooler weather that we've had the last couple of days, it really has been sweet. Thank you for that. We praise you and thank you for that. Lord, bless us tonight as we sit around your word and get taught. And I pray that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts in a great way tonight. And we'll give you glory, honor, and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. If you'll take your Bibles tonight, turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. I appreciate the opportunity Pastor's given me to preach again tonight. And they're doing great. He and Miss Tori and the baby are doing great. So continue to pray for them. Sure appreciate you being here tonight. The Lord is, every time I get an opportunity to preach, I really like to try to preach on something the Lord is teaching me at the time. And this is a subject tonight that I think all of us would say that is going on, but we really wouldn't admit it in our own personal life. And the title of the message tonight is A Noise, The Noise of a Restless Soul. The Noise of a Restless Soul. Every day we hear noises. Back this last Monday, me and Brother Burks went out and played golf and had the opportunity to go down to Glen Rose. Now, Glen Rose is out in the country. Many of you probably know where that's at. There's a beautiful golf course down there. I love going down there because of one thing. It's quiet. And it's in the country. And there's hills there, and there's trees, and not very many cars or trucks. But I enjoy just going down there and just having a good time and just being around, of course, God's creation and with friends as well. But here in the Metroplex, we're accustomed to hearing car horns, trucks, brakes squealing, truck horns, the roar of tires on the road, birds chirping, even though that's usually a good sound that we enjoy hearing, mowers cutting grass, and especially here in the Metroplex with the heat that we have during the summer, yes, I do get up at 6:30 in the morning and mow my grass. Now, whether or not my neighbors like it or not, I don't know, but hey, do it when you can, right? But we listen to the radio. Our phones ring. Our notifications go off every time we get a text or a notification. I even counsel people that sometimes say that they're hearing voices. Many people live in the country because they can't stand the constant noise of the city. But there's another noise I want to preach about tonight, and that is the noise of the soul. The noise of the soul. Now, we are a trichotomy. What that means is that we are spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 23 talks about that. The world has actually got that switch. I believe God has a divine order of things in the Bible where He puts spirit, soul, and body. But to the world, it is body, soul, and spirit. They've got the exact opposite. The soul serves as the middle ground and the center of our free will, our housing our mind and housing our will and housing our emotions. That basically, that's your choices and your decisions. When you receive God's truth in your spirit, your mind has to process it. Your emotions align with it, and your will chooses whether or not it wants to act on it. Or you can just decide to do what you want, and of course, the consequences speak for themselves. Now, the noise of the soul is like static on a radio. You've heard that before. Or even as Pastor has even mentioned in some of his messages, it's like the adults in Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. You know. Noise in the soul, however, consists of our thoughts, what we think about. If we're ever going to find rest for our souls, we have to quiet the noise of our souls, which means what we have to do is we have to examine what we are thinking about. If we're not careful, the noise of our soul can and will at times overpower the clear, still voice of God speaking to us. And if we're going to quiet the noise in our souls, we have to track our thinking. We have to really think about our thinking, what we're thinking about. Not our feelings. We must evaluate those thoughts that we have against what the Word of God says. God never commands our feelings. Let me say it again. God never commands our feelings, but He does command our obedience through thoughts and actions. And where our thoughts are wrong, then what we have to do, we have to repent of them and replace them with the thoughts, of course, that would honor God. So we must therefore know what kind of thoughts what kind of thoughts look like and face them, of course, biblically. So tonight in the message, what I want to do, first of all, I want to see what does noise of the soul sound like. Secondly, what the dangers of noise of the soul are. And number three, what is God's cure for noise in the soul? So let's look first tonight at what does noise in the soul sound like? What does noise in the soul sound like? Now, in your Bibles, in Matthew chapter 11 and verse number 28, Jesus here is giving us some clues about what noise in the soul sounds like. Let's look at it and read it together. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse number 28. A very familiar passage of Scripture to all of us. And notice what Jesus is saying here. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find, what's the word there? Rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, this passage here is really a prototype of really what peace is all about. This passage tells us how to have peace with God and also have the peace of God. Now, the congregation that Jesus is addressing here was probably broader than just the disciples. Perhaps assembled there consisted of some Pharisees and other religious leaders who had come to listen to what he was saying, what he was teaching, what he was preaching. The crowd probably included many people who had been listening to the Pharisees and to hear the Pharisees tell them what they had to do with what things they had to do to obtain that peace with God. They had noisy souls and they were seeking salvation. Jesus' call was to come and do what? Learn from Him. How to have that lasting rest and peace. And if you're unsure if you possess eternal life tonight, let me just say this. I invite you to come at the end of the service tonight and allow us to show you from God's Word how you can know for sure you can have peace and rest and have an eternity in heaven when you die. But Jesus said this unto them, come unto me, all ye that labor. Now, the word labor there very simply means to grow weary, to be beaten out. The root word literally means this, to take a beating. You ever feel like that before? Just taking a beating of life, of what's going on in life? I think all of us can relate to that. All of us at times have felt overwhelmed, as if we're in a hurricane and the winds are pounding increasingly upon our face against us. And it's those times that Jesus is saying to us, come unto me. I can help you with this. Come unto me. I can help you with this. The words heavy laden mean burdened down like a ship loaded with cargo. Now, we all know what it's like to feel that we cannot take any more pressure going on in our lives, don't we? As we feel as though we are going under and we're taking our last breath and we're holding and we're saying, help, give me air. Isn't that right? But Jesus says again, come to me. I can help you with that. I want tonight to take an inventory. And take an inventory of the noises in our soul. Because I'm almost sure that most of us don't know what the noises of our soul are. And because we don't know what the noises of our soul are, we don't know how to handle them. We don't know how to respond to them. Now, before we do that, I want us to take your Bibles and let's do a little bit of studying here. Go back to the 40th Psalm. Psalm chapter 40. Psalm 40. And I want us to read just a few passages here, and I want you to get something in your mind as we look on this about the noises in our soul. The psalmist David writes in the 40th Psalm, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of a miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. I want you to notice some things. I want you to notice the phrase there. The phrase that says, he inclined unto me. Did you notice that? Sometimes we read verses so quickly and we don't stop to really think what the verse is saying. And it says here that he inclined and he heard my cry. Did you know that God inclines to hear you? He wants to hear you. Now, as I get older in life, I realize that my hearing is not as good as it used to be. And sometimes what I have to do is say, will you say that again? And I take my ear and I put it a little bit closer to where they are saying. And I see some of you nodding your head. And that's exactly what the idea, the picture that Jesus is saying. I'm leaning in and I'm listening to what you're saying. I hear your cry. I pay attention. God is paying attention. You might say, well, I've got so many problems. God doesn't want to listen to me. No, if you have many problems, he wants to hear from you. And David continues to say, he heard my cry. He hears your cries too. And David goes on to say, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. The words horrible pit there literally means deep distress. You could say it's a pit of noise, you could say. And David wants to convey the idea here of being desperately trapped in dark circumstances of your thinking. Maybe you too feel as though you're in a pit of noise with noises coming in every direction. You know what God wants us to do? You know what he wants us to do? He wants us to come to him. He wants us to direct our thoughts toward Him. Let's start inventorying some of your thoughts, noticing the noise in your soul. Let's ask these questions. First of all, are there sounds of anxiety and fear in your soul? Are there sounds of anxiety or fear, anxious thoughts or thoughts of worry? Well, what if this happens? What if that happens? These are thoughts of vulnerability. These are thoughts of uncertainty and all those things. What worries about what happens if you lose control or you lose this, you lose that? Those are sounds of anxieties and fear. Are there sounds of discouragement and despair in your soul? Maybe thoughts of hopelessness. What's the use? I've tried to get over this for years. I can't do it. It's not going to get any better. It's always going to be this way. This can also be thoughts of defeat where someone says, well, I blew it again. I'll never get on top of this. I can never get lasting victory. This always happens to me. That's the sounds of discouragement and despair that are speaking to our soul. How about sounds of anger or frustration in our soul? Anger is generally fueled by frustration. It's fueled by hurt. It's fueled by fear. Hey, check your thoughts. Someone might say, well, I just can't believe that happened to me again. We get mad and we get frustrated and we get angry about what's going on. Those agitating thoughts, angry thoughts, typically arise when someone has hurt us or they've done something or said something to us and put us in a very vulnerable situation or a vulnerable position. Are there sounds of bitterness and hatred in your soul? These are thoughts of injustice or didn't treat me right, this mistreatment or unfairness. Someone might say, I've put my life into this job and now I'm getting treated like dirt. Those are the type of bitterness and hatred that can come up if you don't watch out. And then you say, I'm not going to let it happen again. I'll get them back in some way. Nobody's going to treat me that way and get away with it. Are there sounds of lust and greed? Is your mind filled with thoughts of illicit pleasure and experiences, things that you know that you shouldn't be indulging in or lusting for? And what happens is that you create noise in your soul when you plan to get the pleasure you want and then plan to cover it up. What is it that's going to really truly make you happy in that situation? Are there sounds of possessions and positions in your soul? Our souls can get very noisy with the daily responsibilities of being a husband, with being a wife, with being a parent, with being an employee, with being an employer, to be a church leader, and so forth. And our minds can be so filled with thoughts of our to-do list. And some of the noise can be attributed to the ambition to try to get ahead in life, to get on top, to get the latest and the greatest possessions, or try to get it all done to maintain the positions and the possessions that we already have. Are there obsessions and addictions in your soul? These thoughts lead to a person into drugs and alcohol and pornography and abuse and so on. Are there sounds of guilt and shame in your soul? And anytime you practice these kinds of thoughts, you will generate thoughts of guilt and shame, because God never intended for you to think that way. And you're never going to change the way you act until you change the way you think. Are there sounds of entertainment and recreation in your soul? These are thoughts of movies and secular songs and TV programs and news and sports, electronic games, and so on. In our connected age, we have the opportunity to fill our minds with distractions 24/7. Are you listening? Are you still with me? And we can do it at lightning speed and over hundreds of channels. And many times we come home from a strenuous day rather than spending some time reflecting on God and what He's done for us through the lives, or maybe even some of the difficulties we faced and had challenges on that day. We respond poorly and we wonder what in the world happened. And we find something that makes us feel good. So we go home, we eat, we watch a movie, and we fill our minds with more noise for 3 hours. And if we've had a difficult day, it would be better if we sat down and quietly asked ourselves, God, why was this day so joyless for me? This is not the time to fill our minds with more noise. It's time to reflect and say, God, what is so wrong with my heart that I miss what you were trying to do in my life today? As you can see, the collective noise from these thoughts can be deafening. How different these scenes are from the way the Lord wants His disciples to handle life. Now think about this with me for a minute. Just listen to me. Jesus had much to do while He was here on earth. Would you agree with me that? I never see Him, even with the Bible, saying, Peter, what is wrong with you? What in the world are you doing opening your mouth again? Or I never see in the Bible where He says, John, what are you doing? What's going on? Why didn't you not do that? Why did you forget that? I never see Him saying, where is Andrew at? I cannot believe we can't find Andrew. He was never frustrated. He was never fretting. He was never fearful. He always seemed to have everything under control. He wasn't agitated, and His soul was not busy. And in fact, this is what Jesus told His disciples and us in John chapter 14, verse number 27, just before He put them in charge of spreading the good news of the gospel. He says this. Listen to this. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Did you hear that? Not as the world gives us. What is the world giving us? It's giving us noise. What is Jesus giving us? Well, He told us right there, give I unto you. Give I unto you. And this really ought to be instructive to us. Are you trying to get peace the same way the world tries to get peace? The world tries to get peace by filling life with distractions, with problems, with possessions, with people. Then they try all sorts of things like anesthesia to dull the pain of their emptiness. Things such as drugs and alcohol and pornography. But Jesus says, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. All of this is self-imposed agitation. All this is noise. It's a sign of spiritual dysfunction is what it is. And sinful responses of that. God-centered souls are not noisy. Let me say that again. God-centered souls are not noisy. God-centered souls are at rest. That's what the passage said, right? I will give you rest. The prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 26, verse 7, thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Psalm 119, verse 65 says, great peace have they that love thy law, and what? Nothing shall offend them. Can you say that you're at rest tonight? So we see what the sounds of the noises of souls is like. Secondly, what are the dangers of the noise of the soul? What are the dangers? Well, first of all, a noisy soul is not only destructive to the soul, but it's also destructive to the body. It's interesting how many times in Proverbs God talks about how our hearts affect our body. Unrestrained and unbiblical thinking keeps the autonomic nervous system activated. You say, Brother O, what in the world is that? That's just how our body acts, all right? Keeping our bodies in emergency mode imposes an enormous strain on our bodies. One author wrote this, adrenaline is a wonderful friend in an emergency, but a deadly foe as a way of life. Think about that. Many of God's people live with high levels of adrenaline because they are always pushing. They're pushing. Pushing. Push is a bad four-letter word. when it comes to physical and spiritual health. Rest, R-E-S-T, is a good 4-letter word. Would you agree? Why? Because noisy souls also suffer spiritually. You know, I really believe that why a lot of people cannot get victory over different things in their life, whether it's addictions or stubborn habits, is because they've got too much noise going on up here. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. We no longer look to God to seek His direction. We don't see Him as our Savior. And what we try to do is we try to save ourselves and try to work out our own problems without God's wisdom. And that's always foolish for us to do. Author Jim Berg said this, "This independence from God is not merely a matter of poor judgment that results in effectiveness and unrest. It is rather muteness for created beings to turn to themselves for solutions when they were created to depend upon God Himself." If you live here in Fort Worth, which probably most of us do, or even in the area, you know we have a joint reserve base here in the area. Many people, and even our church, work at Lockheed Martin. And if you live here for very long, you can even hear the jets and the test of jet engines during the day. In fact, I can even hear it in my office sometimes here on any given day. Now, there's a golf course over there, and I guess I'm mentioning that again, that is right next to the runway. And man, those jets will take off and it's deafening. I mean, it really is deafening. And you can't even hear what someone in the cart next to you is saying. And that's what noise in our souls can sound like. It can be so deafening that we no longer hear the voice of God. Which brings us to our last point tonight. What is the cure for the noise of our soul? Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 11 again. Because it teaches us a wonderful cure for a noisy soul. Did you notice it? The one we have sinned against. And who was that? Jesus. The one who went to the cross for our sins. What does He say? Come unto Me. Come unto Me. It's a call to fellowship. It's a call to intimacy. It is a call to relationship. He says, I want to be back in fellowship with you. It's what He's saying. I want to be there. I want to be there to be a, I want there to be a lot going on between you and I. It's what Jesus is saying. Come back to Me. Quit listening to all the voices out there and come back to Me, is what He's saying here. You and I can have hearts oriented to God. And this is a call to focus our attention on God. It means to gaze or to stare. To gaze or stare, in a sense, is to turn our faith away from ourselves and our homemade remedies that we come up with and look to God for strength. And look to God for courage. And look to God for wisdom. And more importantly, look to God for hope. Our hope is found in Him. And isn't that the opposite of a self-dependent focus? Isn't that really what it is? Absolutely. I want you to listen. Go back to John chapter 15. And listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse number 3. And He's saying here, listen, I want you back. I want to produce fruit in you. Look at verse number 3. Now ye are clean, John chapter 15, verse number 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in Me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in Me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Is that what it says? Absolutely. For without Me, what? You can do nothing. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tell us? Proverbs 3 warns us about the forsaking the Lord to go our own way. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will do what? Direct our path. And when we depart from God and we break fellowship with Him, we experience the noise we have been talking about because our sinful responses happen to life's challenges. And that's why we can think of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 this way. Think about this. When you decide to do your own thing and don't take the noises out and not listen to Jesus, this is basically what you're saying. And I'm going to paraphrase Matthew chapter 11. Avoid me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will deny you rest. Refuse my yoke upon you, and that is the yoke of fellowship and abiding. And refuse to learn of me what I am like to become like, what I like, what I am like to become like me. That's what I, that the goal is there. And I will give you noise in your soul. That means He's not going to give us rest. Instead, what does Jesus say? He says, come unto me. Come to me for fellowship. And then come and learn of me. Be like me. That is called discipleship. We cannot cure the noise of our souls, listen to me, by medications. Let me say it again. We cannot cure the noise of our souls by medication. Jesus said that the cure for noise of soul is two things that I want you to write down. Number one, meditation. Meditation. Come unto me and learn of me. A focused, deliberate focus upon Jesus Christ is the way of solution, is a cure to this. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 tells us that God has given us everything for life and what? Godliness. He's given us everything. We don't need any special thing. We've got it right here in God's Word. We just need to go to it. Isn't that right? Did you happen to notice verse number 3 of John 15 that we were there a while ago? It says, now you are clean through what? The word which I have spoken to you. Did you get that? You're clean through the word. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. And what he's saying here is, I will fix my eyes on your ways. Psalm 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth thee what? Meditate both day and night. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate both day and night, that thou mayest observe to do what is according to that, what all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have what? Good success. Philippians 1:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, report. If there be any virtue, if there be anything of praise, what is it? Think on these things. Think on these things. Not only did Jesus say that the cure is meditation, but he also says, come learn of me, for I am meek. Did you notice that? Not only meditation, the second cure is meekness. Meekness. Now, meekness is a word that we rarely hear in our society today, isn't it? Meekness is not weakness. What it is, meekness is strength under control. The definition of meekness is a submissive and teachable spirit toward God that reveals itself in a genuine consideration toward others. You say, brother, what does that mean? In other words, it is the ability for you and I as God's people to navigate among others without causing friction. Think about that. At the very least, discord discourages those who are struggling. And at the very most, discord can destroy someone who is struggling. Listen to me. Noisy souls take small problems and make them bigger. One author wrote, either people are big and God is small, or God is big and people are small. Jesus says, listen, I want you to be like me, willing to be governed. Are you willing to be governed? Are you willing to be submissive to God and His will for your life? You see, meekness strikes at the heart of our pride, P-R-I-D-E. We don't want to be governed. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. We don't want to be to submit to anything. We want to do our own. We want to be in charge. But what does 1 Peter chapter 5 it says? It says, but God resisteth the proud. He does what? He gives grace unto the humble. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. A secular songwriter and artist wrote this. The godfather of noise is pride. The godfather of noise is pride. Most of our noise is created when we try to gain or regain control of our own lives. Self is a relentless noisemaker. Let me say it again. Self is a relentless noisemaker. Back during high school and college, I had the opportunity to play basketball. I had the opportunity to play in some big arenas. We had really a great team in college. We went to the national finals, and we didn't do too well, but at least we got there. But I remember, and you've probably seen this on TV, you know, a guy will be up there and he's shooting a free throw. And this happened to me on several occasions. I'm sitting there at the free throw line, and I've got the basketball, and I take my 3-4 dribbles, and I'm looking at the front of that rim, and all those people behind the glass, that's the backboard, the glass. They're back there, and they're doing all this stuff. And they're waving their arms, and they're blowing horns like this. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to distract me. And praise the Lord, I made those free throws. What were they trying to do? They were trying to get in my head. And there's a lot of things out there tonight that's trying to get into our heads. A lot of distractions. A lot of problems. A lot of possessions. A lot of pride. A lot of people. What about you tonight? Do you have a noisy soul? What sounds, what thoughts fill your soul? Do you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus calling you to come to Him? You may say, well, Brother Earl, listen, my life is such a mess. I've been this way for 20, for 30, for 40 years. I don't think I can be helped. Listen to me. You're the one Jesus is talking to tonight to come to Him. Are you willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to lay down my noisemaker. I'm willing to lay down my pride. I'm willing to repent of my sinful responses, and I'm willing to come back to You. Are you willing to learn from Him? Tonight, are you beaten down? Are you broken? Are you burdened? May I just invite you to come to Him? Let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. How about you tonight? What noises are you listening to? as there's so many noises going on in your head right now and in your heart that you're unable to hear the Word of God in your life. Jesus' simple invitation is very simply this: come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Father, take the message tonight and apply it to our hearts however you need to, through the power of the Holy Spirit. May we be honest with ourselves. May we put away our pride, come to this altar, and Lord, get things right where maybe things haven't been right. And Lord, help us put the noises away so that we can truly hear your voice in our hearts. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.